What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Friday, January 3rd of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have a five-game NHL main slate. We had a two-game college football slate just get kicked off or just get underway a couple minutes ago here. Good luck to all of you playing that slate. And then we have a seven-game NBA main slate later tonight. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. And as well, today on Friday, we have our Build Review show going live at 5 p.m. Eastern. So I will see you all at 5 p.m. Eastern as well. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up here. And we have plenty of questions to get started with that came in the Discord ahead of the show. So we will start there, and then we will answer any questions that are coming in live from there. So let me get these in here. Little thread going on with Black Mamba. We'll keep that one in the Discord, a little bit more troubleshooting type question. Plus, we can't do a FanDuel late swap demo here at the moment anyways with no slate active. All right. Looks like these are all our questions to get started. We'll start rolling through these. First question. If I, let's say, upload all my contests and then use Sims build to build and then upload into the contest 75 of 75 contests. After that, I decide I want to manually build a lineup and keep it as is. Any new Sim builds I do, even if I do a new build and remove the contest from the pool of lineups I upload, let's say 74 of 75 lineups, but when the upload takes place, it reverts the lineup back to what I originally built with the Sims. Any way around this, or do I just need to add a favorite lineup and keep it as my first upload? Okay, so there's a couple ways to do this. Number one is to let's do this. Let's do a slate demo. Let's build some lineups. So I'll go over a couple different ways, and some of them are better, some of them are easier, some are worse. Number one is you could build all your lineups in SaberSim, save them, upload them, and then you could just go into, say, DraftKings, and whatever lineup is in that contest, just delete it and hand build it, right? So basically you would be building that hand build last after you've submitted your final set of lineups for all of your other contests, okay? And then you're just replacing it. You don't care what that lineup is. You're just going to override it, okay? That's number one. Number two is you could come into any lineup in SaberSim, click the pencil icon, delete all these players, and then come in and hand build the lineup you want, or, you know, by clicking here, right? Okay, you know, okay, so I have this lineup filled out. I'm gonna save it. When it saves it, it locks it, okay? And then locking it will make sure that it's always a part of whatever set of lineups you're looking at. If you lock, if you lower this down to one, it's going to prioritize this lineup. If you make adjustments, it's never going to remove this lineup from your set. So locking a lineup could be another way of doing it, or you could favorite the lineup, and then that will send the lineup to, or actually I'd sent all 20 by accident. What I could do is I could clear that And then I could just use the star on just this lineup. And then that will send only this lineup to the favorites. And then you could combine with other builds and things like that. Or you could just leave this one lineup in the favorites and save to contest for that one contest from there. So those are the ways I would consider doing it. Either the hand build, either the editing, either the locking, or either like the favorites. I got to figure out which one works or makes the most sense to you, but I think those are your main options. All right. Good stuff there. Okay, this one's a little out of order. This one says, good morning. I have noticed a severe dip in my ROI while playing basketball the last week or so. I have followed the same process, which was doing pretty well for me till recently. I play on FanDuel exclusively, so I can't really do contest flashback. I was just curious, other than spending less money per slate, are there any recommendations that experienced users use when they see that a process is not working anymore? I generally follow the profit plan for contest selection and do all the slate swaps. Thank you for any help or advice that can be given. Okay, so I do want to say that, you know, downturns or short runs of, you know, running bad, and a week is really, you know, a short time frame. Those things are normal and those things happen and they really suck, right? It does make it harder that you play on FanDuel, right? So you're not able to get like that objective, you know, review of your lineups via like flashbacks. I can understand the uncertainty here. Now, one of the best ways to reduce variance, in my opinion, is to play alternate slates, right? So this is something I do like a ton of. You know, say this is DK. I don't play the showdowns for NBA. I think NBA showdown is something I haven't spent enough time understanding to build a winning process. But I basically will start with all of the classic slates that are not the main and then play the main last, right? So by doing this, right, I'm getting a uncorrelated two-game night slate, uncorrelated two-game turbo, uncorrelated three-game turbo, and then I can play the main if I have any bankroll left that I want to play, right? And by doing this, you know, whatever happens in the 4 o'clock game is completely unrelated to all three of these slates, right? Because none of these slates have these two games, the Charlotte-Detroit, the Orlando-Toronto, right? So by playing all of these smaller slates, you know, you still get access to low stakes contests. You get to spread out your money. And then if you're wrong somewhere, well, guess what? You know, if I'm wrong about, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and I don't think he's going to do good and he has an 80-point game or something like that, you know, that'll probably tank you for the main, right? Like if you fade Shai and you know, you're playing the main, guess what? You're probably going to need him to win, right? Well, that can be true on the 5 o'clock turbo. Okay, but, you know, I still have the 5:30 turbo. I still have the 7 o'clock where his fantasy point outcome doesn't affect my results in those slates. So trying to play as many uncorrelated slates as possible is something that I would definitely recommend. You know, FanDuel has these slates too. I know I'm looking at DK. FanDuel has them too, right? 5 p.m. Express, 6 o'clock late night, 7 o'clock after hours. You know, some of these slates will be correlated. Yeah, you know, the late night and the after hours, I'm pretty sure. Like the late night is the two games, and then the there's like one extra game that they're grouping these together. So there's a little bit of correlation here, but these smaller slates are better than playing like the nine game, right? And these lobbies are still pretty healthy, in my opinion. You still get some good action there. You might not be playing all low stakes contests. You might be playing some of the more flagship type stuff, but that's okay, right? It's okay to enter less than the maximum, and you get some shots at some bigger prizes. So those would be my recommendations there. If you want me to review your lineups on the Build Review Show, just let me know. I can do FanDuel reviews. We don't have flashback, but I can still look at your builds and decisions and let you know if I think that there's anything that you can do differently based on what I'm seeing. So it's not as in-depth of a look, but still able to review to the best of our ability. So if you want to do that, let me know. All right, next question. When I build my lineups for a slate under 10K entrants, The lineups are automatically sorted by 10 to 50K. Why is that? Should I change it to sort by 1K to 10K? So that's just the default. Whenever you run a build, we are just defaulting to 10K to 50K entries. The slate, the large slate versus small slate, is determined by the number of games on the slate. So that we can correctly interpret. But basically, most people are playing more than one contest. And so the builder doesn't know, like, hey, what contest do they care the most about that falls in this entry range? So it's just a default number. So if you're optimizing for a specific contest, just come in here and change it, right? Super easy. Just go, 1K to 10K. I would recommend changing it if that is the primary contest that you're optimizing for. So I definitely would go in and make that small adjustment. All right, next question. Is it advantageous to lower the max salary for tonight's NBA main slate to say $49,000 to minimize dupes? And is it better to reduce the minimum salary to zero? I would actually do neither of these things. And, it's a 7-game main slate on DK, 9-game main slate on FanDuel. You don't really need to be as worried about duplication on these, mid to large classic slates as you do on like smaller slates, right? So this was like 2-game, 3-game. I might be able to get behind this. NBA is very heavy projection based, and typically you're using a lot of salary. So I would almost never lower the maximum. Maybe like 49.9, maybe. But I would never like drop it like 1,000. Points or dollars or whatever it is. And typically even on like the smaller slates, like if we go to like the 2-game night slate, you're going to see that. So the minimum on the main is 48,000. And then the minimum on this 2-game night slate, let's go over to a build, is 44,000, right? So we're already lowering it. To be honest, I raise it a little bit. I don't even want to play lineups that are this low salary. I'd rather play like 45K, 46K. So I'm more likely to raise it than lower it. I think there are other ways of handling duplication and, via like ownership and geometric mean, where you could still get to high projected lineups, but if maybe you're getting to some lower owned plays, then that might ultimately end up being a little bit better. So I would avoid salary adjustments like this for NBA slates. All right, next question. Typically, trust the Sims is a reliable rule of thumb, but this week is a bit unique given the uncertainty surrounding Sunday's main slate. Do you think it would be better to adjust the projections to gain more exposure to a player on the min slash maximum? I think if you're doing extra research, if you have opinions about the slate, I think week 18 of all weeks is one of the best weeks to do it. I really think like week 18 and week 1 are probably the best weeks, because week 1, we don't really have any data, right? We have a bunch of guys coming out of the draft. We don't know if teams have changed their philosophies over the offseason through training camp, right? So there's more uncertainty week 1. And then week 18 with players resting, teams giving players a shot, players having incentives, right? Like all these other factors come into play in week 18, where I think it makes the most sense to make adjustments on week 1 and week 18. So we're going to do the best we can. We were talking about it internally today, like, Josh Allen's going to play one snap to keep his consecutive game started streak alive. And then he's going to hand the game off to Mitchell Trubisky, or, Chiefs are resting their starters and, we're expecting so-and-so to be the primary running back. And so we're going to do the best we can to capture those things. But I think it's okay. I think there's going to be opportunities to add value and take some shots, right? So I would not be afraid to get your hands dirty in week 18. All right, next question. Do you guys make changes to projections slash optimals after the games are over, specifically NBA and NFL? And if so, why? We do not. We basically don't run sims or change projections for players after their game has started, right? So after this, Memphis-Sacramento game starts at 7 p.m. Pacific time, we will no longer run sims. You will not see them in the NBA lineup alert channel. and these projections will not change. The only time they change is sometimes our live data that provides our statuses, like if somebody gets hurt, will zero them out. Like I think I saw it the other day when Jaden Ivey broke his leg. You know, his status goes to out, and then the out status basically signals the projection to turn to zero. That's like about the only time that happens. But we are not simulating the games, changing player projections after the games have started. All right. So far, so good. Jumping back to office hours. Got a build review request for FanDuel. Definitely can do that. No problem at all. I'll add you to the list for today. And aside from that, I think we're all caught up with questions so far. So I'm going to go back to the NBA main. And I'm going to do a demo here. I don't have an entries file yet, but that's okay. So we'll just go back to build one. And you know what? Let's just open up a fresh build. So I'm coming in right, going to build some NBA lineups for tonight. First thing I would do, go to the contest tab, upload my entries, right? Click this green upload entries button. You can use this hyperlink if two things are true. Number one, you have reserved your entries so far. You have entered lineups into contests. Number two, you are signed into the fantasy site on the same browser you are using SaberSim, okay? If those two things are true, you can click this green button and it will download a file and you can upload it in this section, okay? That will lead to contest sims being auto-created. So I'm just going to right-click on a contest sim, create a manual one as a proxy to that at the moment, right? Cool. So I go to my build and here, notice build lineups grayed out. Right. You got to, if you hover, you'll get a notification or tooltip. It says DraftKings requires you to adjust projections, ownership, and exposures for at least two players before generating lineups. Okay, great. I'm going to make two small adjustments with these plus and minus icons. Unlock the button. I'm only going to build 500 lineups for this demo. And I'm going to kick off these lineups. Okay. So far, so good. And we're just going to let these lineups run. All right. Lineups are just about finished. Cool. So lineups are loaded. I'm going to click Run Contest Sim to run the sims for my quote-unquote uploaded template file, which in this case is just my manual contest sim. Move some columns around. You can do this however you want. There are just some columns that I don't really care about. They don't make a big dent in my decision-making process. All right, looking good so far. Contest sim just ran. Notice it auto switches to sorting by ROI here, which is great, right? If you've uploaded your template file, you don't need to do anything else. Because I created a manual contest sim, I do need to go switch it to that manual contest sim ROI, and then I would have to switch my aggregate metrics to the manual sim as well. Okay, now the data is populating. Great. So now what I would do is start making some adjustments, right? And what I could do is start increasing my min uniques. And what I like to do is watch how my aggregate metrics change, right? So we were at 63% ROI. Average projection was a little bit higher than this, like 274 range, I think. And I'm basically increasing this to adjust exposures organically, seeing how much of my aggregate metrics I'm sacrificing, comparing that to my leverages and exposures and trying to settle on a number that I'm like pretty happy with, right? So here, if I go back to one unique, I'm at about 274 projection. And then at four uniques, I'm at 270.7. So I've sacrificed like 3 points in projection, about 13% in ROI. Here, I would take some time to like look at these exposures and leverages and see if I'm happy with them. Generally, you know, this seems okay. These highest exposed guys are like pretty high value, pretty high owned. I'm getting some leverage on like some of the quote unquote like best plays of the slate. I'm imagining there's some value on Detroit just because these guys are popping so much. Good opportunity to just go and check. Like, hey, why am I getting so much Detroit? And it's like, oh, okay. We're expecting Asar Thompson to probably start with the Jaden Ivey injury last game that I mentioned earlier, right? And then we think Tobias Harris will get some extra usage as well, right? There's going to be shots to go around. And, you know, both these guys are like sub 5K salary and could benefit. So that makes sense to me, right? But it's always a good opportunity to spot check stuff and see how everything's looking, right? So check like these Detroit guys. Okay. These are like our highest exposed guys. We could keep doing it, you know, for some of these other players too. I'm not going to. I think it's fine the way it is. I would stop here, right? And then I would save my lineups, download them, and then upload them to the fantasy site. But in general, that's pretty good framework for the process they probably want to follow here. With that said, we are all caught up with questions. Did a little bit of a slate demo here. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I'll be back in about 35 minutes for the Build Review Show. Going to go get ready for that. But until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.